Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I told you it was a good Monday. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our number is 888-318-7884, and we're going to talk a bit about renewing Catholic schools. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a whole lot about renewing Catholic schools here this hour. Our guest is Dr. Jared Stout, the Director of Formation for the Offices of Evangelization in Catholic Schools in the Archdiocese of Denver, also a teacher associated with the Augustine Institute. You probably remember him because he'll never be forgotten for the book The Beer Option, but he's got a new book out, and it is called exactly what we just said, Renewing Catholic Schools. Just came out in November. If you'd like to talk about renewing Catholic schools, we'd love to take your call, 888-318-7884. Dr. Stout, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's really great to be on the show again. Thanks for having me.
Well, you keep writing about good stuff, beer in school, and so much kind of, roiling the schools over the course of the last year. I think lots of people are asking fundamental, basic questions about all kinds of schooling. But long before this year, we've had problems in Catholic education. We've had problems in Catholic schools.
Yeah, our high point was back in the 1960s. And can we say that about most everything, right? And since then, every single year, the number of Catholic schools and Catholic school students has been going down. So in a way, we could say we're in an existential crisis for Catholic schools where we're almost in free fall. And yet, at the same time, there's a lot of hope and optimism right now, not only because we've been able to stay strong during COVID when everyone else has been closed, but even before that, there is this movement of renewal going on where we are saying, hey, maybe we should look to our own tradition. The Catholic Church has been the main educator of Western civilization for the last 2,000 years. Maybe the church actually knows how to teach, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so really, we have the answer to the crisis right in our hands. But unfortunately, for the last few decades, we've been focusing more on, I think, utilitarian goals, academic excellence, mm-hmm. which is good, but getting into the right high school, to get into the right college, to get a right job. And then at the end, we say, for what? And we have to go back to why the church educates at all, and that is to help us to be truly alive, to grow in our faith, to live a good life in virtue, to serve others, so that in the end, we can be happy with God forever. That's why we educate.
And so, it does seem, it's interesting what you said. It seems that we may be, like, the world doesn't always set bad standards, you know, and having these good educational standards is a good thing. But it seems like with Catholic schools, we got so focused on meeting the demands of, you know, whatever that state's standards were or whatever, that we have our eye has come off the Catholic side of what we do.
Yeah, you can say, well, we're going to measure our success by taking this test to see if we've mastered, you know, certain points of data. And yet, once again, it goes back to why we even educate. And we would say it's because we want to help our students to be able to think, to be able to understand things, to live properly. So more fundamental, right? We're not trying to do something more complicated, but rather than teaching to the test, we are teaching the person and really educating them in a complete way, because we can give our students a complete view of life, not just how to be successful in these, you know, narrow areas, but how to be healthy body, mind, and soul, and put it all together. And even things like math, you know, I love asking teachers, because I'm now working even more in Catholic schools as associate superintendent here in Denver. So when I talk to teachers, when I say, well, why do we teach math? Why do we do that? And, you know, I think, once again, from the view of public education, you might say, well, you need math, right? Because you have to function in society. You have to pay your bills and pay your taxes, et cetera. You might want to go on and be an engineer. But we would say it's because mathematics is the language that God used to create the universe.
Mm.
And learning math even helps you to understand the mind of God. And it also helps your own mind to grow as you're mastering the equations and just the beauty of mathematics. You are learning how to think logically. I mean, it's something that transfers into every other area of education.
888-318-7884. Our guest is Jared Stout, who works for the Archdiocese of Denver and at the Augustine Institute. Boy, those are two pretty good outfits you've managed to work your way into. Good for you.
I'm very blessed.
Yeah. You sure are. I mean, and they're blessed to have you. His new book is Renewing Catholic Schools, just came out in November. 888-318-7884 is the number. I'm going to give you, I don't know, maybe be, this is a mean question in a way, because of I don't want to put you in a bad position. But I'm just going to come right out and say it. Part of the problem with not teaching Catholic faith in Catholic schools is the principals and teachers don't believe it.
Yes. You know, really, I mean, you can look at this historically. What else happened in the 1960s, right, at that high point?
Sexual revolution. Most of our
schools, yes. But most of our schools were still run by religious sisters.
Yeah.
And so obviously they were committing their whole lives to the church. They had a lot of training in the faith. And then as they left, right, and that's part of the sexual revolution, a lot of the religious sisters left or changed the way that they lived. And then we had to rely on lay leaders, and they didn't have that training, and they didn't have that vision. And so, yeah, I think our schools did become more secular. We wanted to become an elite prep school, and that only would take us so far, right? There are some schools that are still like that. But by and large, the parish schools have been struggling. I think there's something that has given them a jolt of life, and that really is the faithful Catholic colleges and universities throughout the country, because they produce a lot of good teachers and now good principals. And I would even, you know, include myself as an administrator at the diocese, going through the Catholic Studies program at the University of St. Thomas, then going to Ave Maria for my graduate degree. So I received this great training that I can now bring back into the Catholic schools. But there were a few decades there where we were missing that.
888-318-7884. Oh, those were the decades that I was going to Catholic school. So perhaps I have a jaundiced view of it. But bishops have an obligation. Pastors have an obligation to, for example, make sure that the principal of the local Catholic school believes the Catholic faith and has a heart to teach the Catholic faith.
It really goes back to hiring practices. Why do our schools exist? And if they exist, you know, simply for utilitarian ends, then in a way we could say they're not worth the effort, right? You know, ultimately they exist to bring our students closer to Christ and to prepare them not just to be successful. We do want them to be successful, but we want to prepare them to truly be leaders in our society who are guided by their faith. Unlike what we see so often, right? You know, we want them to be able to bring everything back together. You know, we could really ask the question, what makes a school Catholic? And I like to describe, and this is probably what you're even thinking of, you know, a lot of schools think of it in terms of we're a regular school with some Catholic sprinkles on top.
Yeah.
You know, we go to Mass once a month. We have this religion class, you know, where you just open up the textbook. But my answer to that question, what makes a school Catholic, is everything should, you know, really that Christ should be the center of the curriculum, that we have this unified vision of faith and reason that, you know, goes through all of our different subjects, that we have a Catholic culture in the school, that we are prioritizing faith and who we hire. And one of the things that we're doing, even in the Archdiocese of Denver, is we want to look at how we do recruit principals and teachers. Are we looking for the right combination of skills, not just an organizational leader, but someone who can also be a leader in faith, who can be a leader in the curriculum to have this Catholic worldview for everything that we teach, and also being able to recruit teachers who might have a good liberal arts background but don't have an education degree, because most of the education programs are run by secular universities. So then you hire the teachers and they're not coming in rooted in faith in that Catholic worldview. So we also have to say, okay, we're going to hire somebody who has a heart for mission, and then we'll teach them some of the practical things as we bring them in the door.
Wow, that's impressive. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Jared Stout, the Director of Formation for the Office of Evangelization in Catholic Schools in the Archdiocese of Denver. And also now, what did you say? What's your other title?
So I'm no longer Director of Formation. I'm now Associate Superintendent of our Catholic schools.
Okay, so congratulations on your promotion. I'm sorry I demoted you back for the beginning of this show. We're talking about a very, very important topic. If we're going to pass on the faith to the coming generations, we need good, strong, vibrant Catholic schools that form people, not just prepare students for the test. If you'd like to get involved in this conversation, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Don't forget to check out the latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. You can listen each week to the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, now available at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The best way to pray is simply to open our minds and our hearts to God, to allow His presence to begin to fill us, to restore us, to refresh us, to make us new. The best way to pray is simply to be aware of that presence and to say yes to it, to give fiat to that presence as our Blessed Lady did. In that way, we delight in prayer and God Himself delights in us.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about renewing Catholic schools this hour with a man who has devoted himself, not just because of his own six children, but because of his professional and ministerial efforts to doing just that, renewing Catholic schools. He's got a brand new book, Renewing Catholic Schools, which just came out late last year. Dr. Jared Stout is our guest. 888-318-7884, the number if you have questions about our topic or you'd like to offer some ideas about renewing Catholic schools. 888-318-7884. I guess you could do my thing, which is complain about things, or we could think about what does a good Catholic school look like. Let me ask you it that way. What does a good Catholic school look like?
Well, a good Catholic school really will, I think, have a few things. One is Jesus really will be at the center, like I said before. So it will be a community that knows what it's about, has a strong vision to say that we are here to form disciples, we are here to form saints. And that is the number one priority, not just that add-on, those sprinkles, like I was saying. And, you know, when I switched over to Catholic schools in seventh grade, I was actually expelled from the public school for bringing in my Boy Scout knife. And only the Catholic school would take me in. But when I came over, what really struck me is that the environment just felt so different. It felt like a family. It didn't feel like an institution. So I think it also will have a very different culture, a place you want to be, not a place you dread to be. And then it'll have strong academics. And one of the things that we really focus on in the book, and I say we because I wrote it with the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education that does training for schools throughout the country and really is at the forefront of the renewal, but a curriculum that is rooted in the Catholic tradition so that there is this sense that we are a part of this great legacy that we have in the church, that we teach Catholic history, we teach Catholic art. Of course, we're teaching the faith in a living way, not just as kind of a textbook course, but a way of really encountering God and the saints, and that everything will stem from an integrated vision of the curriculum itself.
Again, 888-318-7884, our guest, Dr. Jared Stout, our topic, renewing Catholic schools. There are several folks who want to talk with you. Shall we go to the phones, Dr. Stout?
Sounds great.
All right, let's start in New York City, listening on the EWTN app. Dan, in New York City, go ahead with your question for our guest, Dr. Jared Stout.
Hello. Hi. Good evening. As a parent of several children who I've brought up through the Catholic schools and me, myself, and my wife, alumni of Catholic schools, we've been through, you know, some disappointing experiences, I have to say, with a lot of the school closings in New York City over the past 30 years. And it causes a problem because the schools that do remain open end up taking the other kids. Some of those classes get overcrowded. And it's year after year, the principals are always having the same complaints about a lack of resources because there's no government funding. So there are not programs, honors programs or advanced programs that would be available in public school districts. And, you know, there's a lot of hard-working families trying to keep up to pay the tuition and give their children the best opportunity. But a lot of the Catholic schools are breaking away from parishes. They're becoming independent. And after several years, they don't become financially viable. I really wish, I mean, since I was a child in Catholic schools, they've always been telling us to fight for your politicians, to change the status quo. And I don't think the national Catholic population has fought hard enough for Catholic schools.
Let's get, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. It does sound a bit dire the way you say it, but I what do you make of that point, that we haven't fought for Catholic schools, we Catholics, and that the situation is dire, Dr. Stout?
I do not disagree at all that the situation is dire. As I mentioned before, every single year there's more and more closings and we have less students. My optimism, however, does come from a largely lay movement of renewal. And it's based on something that we haven't talked about yet, and that's classical education. Another way of describing classical education is something we've talked about, and that's the way that the church has done education for 2,000 years, that it's rooted in the liberal arts, that it uses great literature and art and this great tradition, that it educates the whole person, and that it's primarily something that is educating us to be someone rather than to do something. So I think, once again, we have these great resources here, but largely we're not turning that direction. However, I mean, I think every year more and more schools are, because they're getting desperate and saying we have to do something about this. I think of my kids' own school. Back in 2010, the Archdiocese of Denver said it was going to close, but the pastor wanted to try one more thing. So he hired a very young principal, Rosemary Vanderwill, who has a chapter in the book, Renewing Catholic Schools. And said, you know, we're going to do something different. We're going to try classical education. And there were some independent classical Catholic schools out there, but it was only the second Catholic parochial school in the country. And they have gone from 90 students to over 300 students in 10 years. They've actually started a second campus. And really, the return to classical is about recovering our identity as Catholic schools. So, you know, my response to the caller would be that I think there are many great things we can do. First, it is our faith, that is our first priority, and that recruits the right people. You get people on board that are that really believe in that mission. You motivate parents so that they're, you know, willing to pay the tuition because they believe that we're doing something different. And we really just communicate that the Catholic school really is worth the investment because we are going to give a formation that will help your child to really navigate, you know, this ever increasingly hostile culture. So we need Catholic education more than ever before. We can't just simply let our schools die. So I totally agree that the laity, that parents need to band together and to do something about it. And what we do is go back to our own tradition. I'll just give one more example. I also worked with a number of other families to start a new high school, the Chesterton Academy of Our Lady of Victory. And so there's a whole network of these Chesterton Academies throughout the country, but they are by and large founded by the families themselves. And so we really can do something about the crisis. We need to work together and we need to be bold and we need an education that we really believe in and is worth supporting.
I'm going to say thanks very much for the question, Dan, and allow other folks to get on before we have to go to another break. 888-318-7884 is our number. It is encouraging to hear about people doing these very, very positive things. In many ways, it almost feels like you have to kind of take a deep breath, admit that things have gotten really bad, and then you'll see, well, there are things we can do about that.
There really are. And, you know, I mentioned the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education before, but every year they're working with more and more schools. They actually have a new institute to form leaders. They work with superintendents, and they've gone from a handful of superintendents to a couple of dozen now. So we really are, I think, at a turning point where we have enough parishes and dioceses realizing that we have to do something drastic to save our schools. And the drastic thing is actually something that's been right in front of us all along. And that is to truly embrace who we are.
Anonymous, you are up next. Our guest is Jared Stout. We're talking about renewing Catholic schools. Our number, by the way, let me just give that out real quick, Anonymous, then you can go 888-318-7884. Anonymous, go ahead with your question for Dr. Stout.
Hey, I didn't have a question, but I just wanted to cheer you on. I was a Catholic school teacher, and everything you're saying is spot on. I really believe that we need to, make Christ the center of a Catholic school again. I think teachers get lost in curriculum and testing and that sort of thing, and then the religious part kind of gets put on the back burner for some teachers, which really hurts the students. And I've had the chance to talk with a few people kind of across the nation. My husband went to a school in Kentucky, and he said many kids would leave. They went through eighth grade, and they would leave and not really even realize that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that Catholic school failed you. They didn't.
Yeah.
That is the purpose of, and it sets you apart from other schools. I think that we do need to, and I think it's, I think there's a lot of great teachers out there that do make religion the focus. But yeah, it's I just wanted to say good for you and thank you for your work. And it's not easy, but good job. Keep going.
You are a teacher. Anonymous,
absolutely.
Thank you very, very much. Jared, your comments.
Well, I really appreciate it. And when I just think back, even to the last 10 years, as I've mentioned, we've really come a long way. So even though there are a lot of obstacles and we could be discouraged, nonetheless, we're making good progress. And I'll just give one example. Our major focus for our Catholic schools this year in Denver is this framework for discipleship that we put together called School of the Lord's Service. And what we're really saying is that, echoing Pope Benedict, that the reason why we exist as Catholic schools is to help our students to encounter Christ and then to live with him. There are three things that go into being a disciple: that you've really met Jesus in a personal way, and then you make a choice to follow him. And then you live with him. You actually grow in virtue. You become more like him. Your life is transformed. And then third, you want to go out and be on mission with Christ because your life has been changed. You want to share that with others. That's what I actually got from the Catholic schools when I switched over, going back to seventh grade, coming into the Catholic schools. And what we really want every single one of our Catholic school students here to experience, that really is the heart. And everything else will fall into place, right? Seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness, and everything else will be added onto you. And so we do have to put first things first, not the test scores. It's not that we don't care about them, right? We care about some of these outcomes, but only insofar as they help us to achieve our overarching goal, which is the happiness of our students with Christ.
Again, 888-318-7884 is our number. The new book from our guest, Jared Stout, is called Renewing Catholic Schools. If you'd like to get in on that conversation, we'd love it if you would. 888-318-7884. So real quick before we have to go to the first break, and then I'll get you back to callers when we come back. Is there a place for homeschooling in all of this?
My opinion, and I would even say advice on that, is, homeschoolers have been very brave. They haven't been happy with the options out there, whether it's public school or even a lot of Catholic schools, for the reasons we've mentioned. And so they've been really doing a valiant effort to give this kind of formation that we've been talking about. And they have embraced classical education as well. But I think we're at a time when we can work together. And so there are some exciting initiatives across the country of homeschooling families, working with Catholic schools, maybe cooperating in some subjects, and really trying to build up a stronger community at the parish and not feeling like we're rivals. So I really hope that we can leave some of those tensions from the past behind.
So, you talked about the idea of a Catholic school as a family. Maybe it's a family that has different modes of membership in the future, some of which include the homeschooling for some folks and others? Do you think that that kind of hybrid type of family arrangement is possible?
I do think it's possible. And unfortunately, in the past, we even had a policy for our Catholic schools in Denver that our schools shouldn't cooperate with homeschoolers. And so when our new leadership came in, you know, we quickly rescinded that policy and we encouraged the homeschoolers, no, come to us. We want to work with you. And so I think we really can put things like that on the table and come up with creative ideas.
Again, our number is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Dr. Jared Stout from the Archdiocese of Denver. And we're talking about renewing Catholic schools. He's got a brand new book just came out at the end of last year called Renewing Catholic Schools. We are approaching Catholic Schools Week, a perfect time to talk about this. And we'd love to talk about it with you. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Let's talk about it on Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, talking with Dr. Jared Stout from the Archdiocese of Denver, where he makes it his life mission to improve Catholic schools, keep Catholic schools open, first of all, and improve Catholic schools, and has a brand new book called Renewing Catholic Schools. Dr. Stout, say again who you did the book with and how that all works.
So, yeah, the book was written by a few different authors, but through the umbrella of the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. So they are at the forefront of renewal for Catholic schools and even dioceses throughout the country, training teachers, having an institute for training leaders and their national conference. So the book has been a great way to really get the message out to more teachers and principals. And even this week, it's Catholic Schools Week. We have sent a copy out to every bishop and superintendent in the country with the blessing of the USCCB. So they're the chairman of their committee for education, Bishop Barber, and then also Bishop Barron, who is on the board of the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. So the two bishops you know, gave their encouragement as we sent the book out to all the bishops and superintendents.
Wonderful.
And I would say, you know, if anybody's listening to this and they're like, what do we do? I really want this kind of vision to be in my parish or my school. Hey, you know, I would do the same thing. Send a copy to your pastor and your principal.
And the name of the book, again, is just very, very simple. Renewing Catholic Schools. Jared Stout is the author. A bunch of folks on the line. So back to the phones we go. Another anonymous caller. Anonymous, you there with us?
Hello?
Hi. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Stout.
Hi. Yeah, well, there's a little bit of a background. I mean, I attended Catholic schools in my youth. I've been a teacher myself. I've taught at Catholic schools. And, you know, the old saying goes, if you want to know the real truth, you got to follow the money. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, years ago, these nuns worked pro bono. And because of that, the tuition was very affordable. And, you know, it just seems to me like where the Catholic schools are really needed the most is where they're the least available, which is, you know, in these rather poor areas. And I can tell you, you know, I worked at Catholic schools in a rather affluent area. And it seems as though, you know, at times they get influenced by the wealthier patrons. And they're funded by rather dubious means. For instance, you know, their biggest fundraiser was casino night. And
We're all familiar with the Catholic bingo and everything else that is done to support the schools. But so is your question about funding, Anonymous?
Yes, it is. But I just wanted to finish if I could. I can't understand why we can't somehow secure some kind of public funding to help the Catholic schools.
Okay. Let's, Dr. Stout, what about that public funding?
Yeah, public funding is dangerous. When you look at Canada, you look at Great Britain, when you take federal money or government money, then you lose control of the school in many ways. And as we know, especially what's happening right now in our country, that there would be a lot of strings attached. I will say that we have an initiative here in the Archdiocese of Denver called Seeds of Hope, which provides funding for our underprivileged communities and students throughout the Archdiocese. And even when COVID hit and we were afraid that a lot of students wouldn't be able to make tuition, we had a huge outpouring of generosity for Seeds of Hope, and we were able to keep our students in our schools. I would come back to mission. And I think that if we bring our schools back to the reason that we exist and we really get on mission, parishes will feel better about supporting the school. Parents will feel better about paying tuition because they see that. But then also donors. I mean, we need to reach out to benefactors to say, you know, we need help keeping kids in Catholic school, but this is why this really matters. At this point of time in our country, when we're losing our sanity in so many ways, the Catholic school really is a safe haven and a refuge for our children, and it is worth the investment to keep our kids in the school. So I think we've really seen that if you lead with that message, that you can get the financial support. One, you can motivate parishes, but you can also motivate benefactors.
Thanks, Anonymous. Appreciate it. A bunch of folks on the line. I'm just going to keep moving. Our guest is Dr. Jared Stout. The book we've been discussing and the topic for this hour, Renewing Catholic Schools. We go now to Valerie right there in Denver, Colorado, where you are, Dr. Stout, listening on AM 1060. Valerie, go ahead with your question.
Hi. I have a sixth grade boy, and he's in Catholic education right now. It's very important to us, and I'm already starting to panic a little bit about high school, and I knew about Our Lady of Victory, and I was really excited to hear about it, and I thought, oh, that would be perfect for him. But then, do you have anything in place? He has dyslexia, so that can be a big challenge for a kiddo, that classical education, when they have dyslexia, unless right. They have some in-school support. And I'm just wondering if that, you know, is that on the horizon, Our Lady of Victory, or maybe you already have something already in place?
Yeah, I mean, my own daughter, who went to Our Lady Victory as we started as a freshman, has dyslexia. We are able to work with our students, but we're still a very small school at Our Lady Victory. But I would say our Catholic schools in general have been good at that. And this is one area where our schools are able to take government money. So there are different title programs and including programs that work with students that have special needs like this. So as Our Lady of Victory grows, and I think you see this with a lot of other independent Catholic schools, right? You know, you have families coming together, you start a school on a shoestring budget, but as you do grow, you're able to invest in more positions and have more support. So we're able to make accommodations and give some extra tutoring. But as we grow, we'll be able to do more. And once again, I think that is an area where Catholic schools in general can get more creative with funding and receive some help from the government.
We're talking about renewing Catholic schools with Dr. Jared Stout, who wrote the book Renewing Catholic Schools. Valerie, I hope that that was helpful to you. Our number is 888-318-7884. We go now to Jackson, Mississippi. Anne in Jackson, listening on 93.3 FM, Good Shepherd Catholic Radio. You are next, Anne. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Dr. Stout. It's actually Jackson, Michigan, Good Shepherd Catholic Radio. I want to give a little shout out.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Marie got the note right. I read it wrong. So,
in any event, my question is, what do you think about making daily Mass, putting it back on the schedule for all students and staff as a method of renewing Catholic schools?
I 100% agree. And Our Lady of Lourdes that I mentioned before, where my kids go, we have daily Mass. And then Our Lady of Victory that I co-founded, we also have daily Mass. So yes, I do agree. Why? Because the Eucharist is the heart of the school. I mean, the Eucharist is the heart of Catholic culture in general. But the Eucharist gives us the life of God. And I think if we want to put Jesus in the center of the school, then we have to put the Eucharist in the center of the school so that we have that supernatural bread of life that guides us in our classes, so in our instruction, in our discipline and growth and virtue, and creating that culture and environment that we've been talking about. So yes, absolutely. We need a sacramental life, a sacramental culture. We need Jesus at the center, and the Mass is the way to do that. So I agree.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate that. We have to take a quick break. Anne, I appreciate the question. More folks on the line, a couple lines open if you want to get in. We'll do our very best to get you on. And in any case, 888-318-7884. Jimmy Akin's beautiful little book, The Words of Eternal Life, is just 115 pages. But in it, Jimmy examines the problem of a lack of happiness in the world and offers a solution that's not only free, but also available right here and right now. You know what it is. Jesus Christ, the word of the Father who teaches us the words of eternal life. To find out how you can get your free copy of Words of Eternal Life, visit Catholic.com and look for the orange free book button in the middle of the page.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Prayer is powerful because it's prayer. It's not powerful because it alters the universe in the way we want. God's a lot smarter than that. He says to pray because it has power. Now, whether it turns out the way we want is not an indicator of the particular power of prayer. It is powerful because it is.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Tomorrow, Tim Staples, both hours, open forum. Oh my gosh, it's hard to beat that. 2 hours of Tim Staples on a Tuesday for open forum. We might even have to play him some groovy music. We'll have to see. No? All right. No, we're not going to get... Tim doesn't get the groovy music, only Jimmy. That's fine. Okay. Our number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking with our guest, Dr. Jared Stout, about renewing Catholic schools. Up next, Walt in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Walt, with your question for our guest.
Do you suppose if each teacher, including math teachers, science teachers, English teachers, etc., all took an oath of fidelity, a lot of the nonsense that goes on in Catholic schools would disappear?
Well, I think something like that could help, whether it's the oath of fidelity or not. And just for all of our listeners, John Paul II asked that teachers of the sacred science, that is theology, take an oath of fidelity to the church. It's also required for certain church offices. All the teachers at my high school that I helped to found, Our Lady of Victory, do take the oath of fidelity. So I am in favor of that. But you do see some dioceses having a particular contract where you agree to teach and live in accord with the teachings of the church. Unfortunately, though, a lot of those are just kind of swept under the rug, and you sign it, and nobody pays much attention to it. So I think a lot of it has to do with hiring. You know, because people, as we know from history, right, sometimes will just swear an oath and not mean it, or sign a contract that has certain stipulations and not mean it. And sometimes that can help in a court of law if it came to that, and sometimes it does come to that. But most importantly, we want to hire Catholics who really care about their faith, who believe in the mission and want to be a part of it. Even the Supreme Court last year said that Catholic school teachers are all missionaries, right? That they all are ministers, right, was the term that they used. So if the Supreme Court recognizes they're ministers, then we should as well, and we should expect that of them.
Thanks, Walt. Appreciate the question. Our number, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Indianapolis now. Michelle in Indiana, listening on Catholic Radio Indy. Go ahead, Michelle, with your question.
Hi. So I just wanted to mention we are a homeschool family following classical education because we really believe what you're talking about. And so I'm so excited to hear, you know, about this renewal of Catholic education. So it seems like there are a lot of Christian co-ops that teach the classical method. And so we are involved in one of those co-ops, and as they're getting older, obviously there's a lot more dialogue and discussion, which is why we're in the group, because that helps with their formation. However, as they're going through high school, we're starting to see more of the Protestant-Catholic differences in that. So that creates some challenges, but actually it creates good conversation, so maybe it ends up being a good thing. And I do have to give a shout out that we have definitely used CatholicAnswers.com to understand our faith more fully, to be able to speak the Catholic perspective to some of the issues that have come up.
But it seems like you're looking for something that maybe is more geared toward, you're saying essentially that the Protestants are better at, or more advanced at the homeschooling movement than Catholics. You looking for more resources for Catholics?
Yeah, in the classical approach, which you're speaking of right now. So I'm just saying yay for the Catholic Church or the you know, stepping up to provide something similar in that type of education, because the classical model requires like that dialogue and discussion. And, you know, it's about being able to speak your faith. So to be able to know your Catholic faith and to be able to communicate it, I think it's a good thing that we have like a classical model for the Catholic faith.
Dr. Stout?
Yeah, well, I teach history as well, and so I can't help but give a brief history lesson, right? Classical education, as we know it, was invented after the fall of Rome. It was Catholics like Boethius, Cassiodorus, who wanted to preserve the liberal arts tradition from the Greeks and the Romans. And so they wrote textbooks, and they became foundational texts for the Middle Ages. And then, though, in the 20th century, you're right, it was Protestants who really picked up on classical education first. And then they influenced the charter movement. And now only in a third wave are Catholics coming around to it. But it is really taking root. 10 years ago, there were no Catholic classical schools in my archdiocese. Then we had Our Lady of Lourdes. Then the Archbishop decided he wanted another, so we had Frassati Classical Academy. Then the high school that I founded, and then another high school that arose after that. And we have another parochial school changing to classical. The Diocese of Colorado Springs has a high school in the works and also a parochial school becoming classical. So all of a sudden, there's 8 classical schools in Colorado that are Catholic when there were none 10 years ago, just to give you a sense of how fast this is all moving. But there is a great book, The Liberal Arts Tradition, by Clark and Jane, who are Protestant authors. But they do a great job, and they engage a lot of Catholic authors. And so you can see how, you know, a lot of Protestant homeschoolers are, they're reading Augustine. Some of them are even reading Thomas Aquinas. And they're just reading the great tradition, wanting to dialogue with these thinkers and then dialogue with one another in light of that. And I would say the same thing for our Catholic schools. We want our kids reading the best literature and thinking with the best minds throughout history, whether they're pagan, Catholic, and there are great Protestant writers too.
Thanks.
Like John Milton.
Amen. Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate that. Our guest, Dr. Jared Stout, the book, Renewing Catholic Education. Our number, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Tacoma, Washington. Bev in Tacoma, Washington, go ahead with your question for Dr. Stout.
You know, I went to public school my whole life. The fifth grade, when we were being taught that we all sprang from monkeys, I almost failed that class because I didn't believe that. And I wanted to go to Catholic school, but my parents just did not have that kind of money.
Yep.
What can children do that want to go to Catholic school?
So we initiated something in the Archdiocese of Denver called a variable tuition program. And so even though, you know, we have our kind of cost to educate for each student, basically a family applies and based on their income and their financial demands and how many kids you have, which is an important one, it determines what is a reasonable amount for you to pay. And so I think there are things like that that are happening. And I know a lot of families who come to me and say, I could never afford Catholic school. And my answer always is, go talk to the priest. Because I know when families have done that, I don't know one family who was turned away. They went to a priest and said, I can only pay X amount. And the priest said, well, too bad. We don't want you here. You have to be able to pay the Y amount. I've never heard that. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. And I know the phones might ring off the hook, right? If somebody's saying, well, that happened to me and I'm sorry if that did happen, but I would really just dialogue with the school. And I've gone to schools in 3 different dioceses across the country. Every time I found that the school system was willing to work with me. And I have 6 kids, right? So juggling a lot of financial demands. So don't just assume that you can't go, but try to work something out. And I think that the church will work with you.
888-318-7884, the number. When you think about renewing Catholic schools in the manner that you described, Dr. Stout, that is renewing Catholic schools as places where Christ is central to everything and that the primary thing to be taught is Christ so that people will come to the fullness of life. Isn't there resistance among those who would like Catholic schools to just be kind of private schools?
Yes, there always is. And, you know, you never know, that could be a principal, it could be teachers, but a lot of times it's even families. They say, we're not really sending our kid there for that. But I would come back to the whole reason. I mean, why does the Catholic Church even have schools? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we could just have religious ed programs and just do Sunday school. Why did we go through all of that effort? And the answer is because we view education as something integrated. That you can't simply have, well, faith over here on one side and then studying math and science over here on the other side. That's a kind of latent secularism where you keep things divided. And so the church has always thought that our faith has to be integrated with moral formation, a training in the virtues, and then a training of the mind, of the intellect, and that we have to bring this all together to teach our children how to live like a Christian in the world. So to anyone who would push back on that and says, no, we just want a good prep school, I would say, well, you know what? I mean, the Catholic Church has a mission to go out to every nation and form disciples. And a Catholic school is a part of the mission of the church. The Catholic school doesn't have a different mission statement. Jesus gave the Catholic school its mission statement when he said that. Go, therefore, to all nations, baptize them, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And the word disciple, Jesus says, or make disciples, is the word for student in Latin. Discipulus means student.
Again, 888-31-TRUTH is our number. We're talking about renewing Catholic schools. We go now to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Kevin in Milwaukee listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Go ahead with your question, Kevin.
Hi, good evening. I am calling because I want to address the idea of teaching Catholic social teaching in school. I am a retired teacher at a Catholic school, and we would receive many memorandums and curriculum from the Archdiocese saying explicitly in there that that should be taught. And for example, I showed a video that addressed materialism, war, stewardship of creation, all of those very important points. And I had pushback from a parent with the principal saying that this conflicts with this parent's political affiliation. I totally taught it neutrally, where students would ask me what my political affiliation was. I said, my party, you could look at the social teaching principles there, and that guides me. And there was pushback, and what it came to was it was actually a parent threatening to pull their kids out of school because it might not have aligned properly with their political beliefs. So I'm really asking, you know, do you sacrifice enrollment versus, you know, teaching these principles? That this was actually notated in curriculum issued by the Archdiocese. So
thank you. It's a brilliant question, Dr. Stout.
Yeah, I would say there's absolutely, as the caller was pointing out, a difference between political activism and simply teaching the faith, teaching the social doctrine of the church. The social doctrine of the church is going to teach the common good of society. What goes into the common good? Well, the first thing is the respect of the human person. The second thing will be respect of the family. Then we will get into other issues of the economy, of education, of politics, of war and peace. But finally, I mean, the common good is the full flourishing of the human being. What does it mean to live as a Christian in our culture right now? And that will be countercultural. That will offend people on right, and it will offend people on the left. But, you know, so, you know, it's not that we want to get into partisan politics, but we want to be clear that we are teaching with the voice of Christ, his prophetic witness. And that we are helping our students to think critically, logically, but with faith through the difficult issues of our culture. But and one of the things that we've done in our diocese here, once again, because that's always, you know, where I'm going to go for my examples, but we want to make sure that every grade level is taught theology of the body in an age-appropriate way. And there's a couple of good resources for that, Tobet and Ruha Woods, but that's part of Catholic social teaching as well. Men and women in society and the family in society.
But Kevin's point that if you teach Catholic social teaching, there are people who are not going to want their children to get that. Because the truth is Catholic social teaching doesn't fit with a lot of, our kind of national habits when it comes to – he mentioned commercialism or consumerism. There's a lot of people who will take their kids out of the school if you're teaching that consumerism is sinful.
And I think we have to come back always to our why. Why are we doing this? And you should have the same answer for everything. It's because of our overarching goal of how we are forming our children in the faith, right? And you have to, if you're going to be able to put something out there with social teaching to say, this truly is the teaching of the church, not just my own personal interpretation or my own political activism. Sounds like our caller was saying he was trying to do that, right?
Yeah.
And so we just have to be firm with parents and say, we know what we're about. This is who we are, and we are confident that this is what our children really need. But here's why, because you have to educate the parents as well. Parents are the primary educators, even for their children's faith. but they don't know how to exercise that. So we also have to educate them and teach them their own role in a kind of partnership.
And man, when teachers like Kevin or Catholic school principals stand up for Christ, the rest of us got to back them. We got to back them all the way. Because they're going to take guff for it, and we got to back them. Hey, the book, Jared Stout's book, Renewing Catholic Schools, now available. You can also get his other very popular book, The Beer Option. If you like beer, if you like Catholic faith, you're going to want to get that one. Dr. Stout, thanks so much. It's always great when you're on. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, as I said, 2 hours, open forum. Tim Staples, we'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.